Welcome to Hope for Right Now, a Walking with Purpose podcast. Walking with Purpose is a Catholic women's apostolate that creates fresh and relevant Bible studies to lead women to personally know Christ through Scripture. Hi, I'm Lisa Brennickmeyer, and I'm joined by Laura Phelps. We are two friends passionate about unpacking God's Word and applying it to our everyday lives. Each week, we will step out of the discouragement the world provides by grabbing hold of the hope we find in God's Word. Never have we been more convinced of the importance of women being grounded in hope. No matter where you are in the spiritual journey, we pray you'll stick around because God has a word for your heart, and His word changes everything. So open your heart, open your Bible, and invite God in. Hello, and welcome back to the Hope for Right Now podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Brennickmeyer.
And I am your other host, Laura Phelps, and we're continuing our series on the spiritual battle titled Be Strong, the Armor of God. So we're looking at each piece of the armor in the same order that it's listed in Ephesians 6, which, interestingly enough, it's the same order that a Roman soldier would have put on his armor. And last week, we talked about the belt of truth, and putting on the belt of truth is step one, like that's where we start, step one for us. And we have got to know the truth, which if you heard last week, we said that it's knowing what God's opinion is about something, because not knowing God's opinion, that can really destroy us. And the opposite of truth, the lies, is destroying women. Okay, sisters, the father of lies hates us. He hates women. And wouldn't you agree, Lisa, this is one of the ways he's hurting us.
Absolutely. And I just think this is, again, I just want to talk about why I think this topic is so important, is that we are all in the heat of a battle. Even when our circumstances aren't indicating that for us, we always do have an enemy who is trying to take us down. And you're right, one of the primary ways he loves to do that and to mess is by lying to us. So that's why it's so important that we start here. And also, I think it's important that we notice that in being told to put on the belt of truth, there is an action involved in that, our action. I think oftentimes when we think about truth as being something that just is. But because of that, it's hard to think, well, then how do I put something that just is actually into action in my life? And the way that we do that is by aligning our thinking with God's. And so for me, I think this involves a daily reboot of the way that I think, and not just about how I see myself, although that is definitely one of the ways that the enemy messes with me and one of the places where truth really gets misaligned in my mind. But it also has to do with the truth around how I see other people, how I see my circumstances, and how I see the world. Like all of those things have also got to be aligned. My thoughts have to be aligned with God's way of thinking. And so what this means is I've got to make an effort to pay attention to my distorted thinking. And this is key for me, to really pay attention when I'm discouraged. That's like a red flag in my life that something's going on and that probably there's something there that I have to look for where my perspective is not aligned with God's opinion on whatever it is. So that's just a reminder on why we've got to start with the belt of truth. But that's not what we're going to be talking about today. What are we talking about today, Laura?
Oh, it's my favorite. It's the breastplate of righteousness. I love it. So we're in Ephesians 6:14. And so St. Paul tells us, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate we see here, that was the next piece of armor that the soldier would put on, and it would actually connect to the belt. And this was a heavy piece of armor made of metal, usually bronze. And what it did was it covered the soldier really from his neck to the middle of his thighs, which I would appreciate today, covering my thighs. It's a nice little perk.
I keep thinking about that, though. I'm like, how did they walk? Do you not picture this a little bit and think, how did they move? Okay, yeah, I'm not saying I don't believe it, what you just said. I believe it. But at the same time, it's like a short dress. It's like a mini dress.
Yeah, but haven't you ever worn like Spanx, like a serious pair of Spanx, right? From like the neck to the thighs. You know, you do what you have to do, Lisa, to survive. I think that was the bottom line here. Like they needed to survive, which actually is true because it covered that great a portion of their body. The most important thing that it covered was their heart, right? And so this could literally be the difference between life or death. So, you know, if a soldier took a direct hit to his chest, a blow like that could actually stop his heart.
Mm.
So does that answer your question?
That answers my question. That also, to me, that whole reality of what it was protecting the heart from has just taken on whole new significance for me as we're getting ready for our son, Bobby, to have surgery on this very part of his body. And so we're recording this before you're all hearing it. It's not like this is going to release tomorrow. And so by the time you hear this, Bobby, God willing, will be recovering from the surgery. But and I mentioned this in an earlier episode that a few months ago we were at this routine sports physical and something didn't sound right with Bobby's heart. And so we were sent for more tests. And what they told us was that his sternum was pressing on his heart to such a degree that if he took a direct blow to the chest, it could kill him. So it's the very thing you just said is what we were told. And I can't even tell you how chilling that was because we were there at this appointment. I was like, just give us a super quick sports physical because he's got a game tomorrow. Like, we can't miss this game. And I'm sitting here hearing this, realizing he has been walking around in this state playing in game after game. And thank you, Jesus, for protecting him and that nothing happened, that he's been really vulnerable. And so anyway, we're heading up pretty soon in 2 weeks to Mayo in Rochester, Minnesota to have the surgery. And what's going to actually happen is they are going to be lifting the sternum off his heart so that his heart is protected. So this is what the breastplate of righteousness does. It protects your heart. But again, just like the belt of truth, this is something that we have to do, something that we are putting on. And Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life. So I love that verse. And I must admit that whenever I hear guard your heart, just in isolation, what I typically think of is put up the walls, have big boundaries. Don't let people see those parts of you that are super vulnerable. And the truth is there's wisdom in not letting your heart just be exposed to absolutely everyone. Sometimes that's just wisdom. But what the writer of Proverbs is getting at has a lot more to do with what St. Paul is talking about with the breastplate of righteousness. And it's drawing attention to the fact that when we do the opposite of what God says is righteous, we are putting our hearts at risk. And that behavior, those choices are going to press on our hearts, and we're going to feel the impact and we're going to feel the heaviness.
I love that. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So back during the season of Lent, I really went on this deep dive into the heart. You know, I've been very much, you know, the beginning years of really turning to the Lord and wanting to dive into my faith deeper, there was a lot of the head knowledge that really interested in me. But lately it's been like, what's at the heart? Like, that's been the real subject. And that verse from Proverbs, that's actually been a real guiding verse for me lately. And there's another translation that says, guard your heart because everything flows from it, which is just a really incredible image, right? Like, everything we do comes from the heart. And so one of the many fruits, there were so many fruits of this fasting that I did during Lent. It was a little bit crazy. But one of the fruits was really giving me the eyes to see what they refer to as the thorns in your heart. And one Lenten reflection, I had written it down. It said, our faults as thorns in our hearts will be driven out by the Holy Spirit and turned into roses. And I remember reading that thing like, don't you want that heart, like that beautiful heart of roses? And then I'd like panic. And like every morning I'd run out to my husband. I'd be like, I have a thorny heart. Like, my heart is so thorny. And he thinks I'm insane. But it's true. Not the insanity part, but the thorns, Lisa. I mean, the insanity is questionable. But the thorn piece, right? Because every thought I have and every action I take that does not align with God's, right? That does not align with his desire for me or what he says is good, they act as if they are like thorns in my heart, which is a great image. It helps me a lot, this idea of imagery. And I learned very quickly that the condition of my heart, that is going to reflect the way that I live, the quality of my life, what I'm putting out there, right? We read in Proverbs, it's chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, and it says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. for length of days and years of life and abundant welfare will they give you, right? So if you just sit with that for a little bit, this is the first verse, which is part of a larger exhortation from Solomon to his son. And what he's doing is he is urging him in love to heed to his teaching and to trust wholeheartedly in the Lord. And I was reflecting on that and I thought, well, isn't that not the same call that's on ours, right? The same call has been placed on our hearts as well. And I think that the evidence of our not forgetting, you know, the evidence of our not forgetting his commandments or his law, it's when we do what Proverbs 4:23 says to do, and that is to guard our hearts, right? Like that's the evidence when we guard our hearts. And so when I think of that, I know I actually hear your voice in my head when I think of the word obedience. I don't know why, but I always hear you talking about obedience. But that does come to mind, and not obedience because, you know, like we got a white knuckle and do what he says, but like an obedience that's born out of love, right? Love for the Lord, love for his commandments, right? John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not don't keep my commandments and then you'll love me, right? The love comes first. And so I love that. And I really do believe that what we love dictates how we behave, right? There's a great E. Stanley Jones quote where he says, what has your attention has you, right? Like what has your attention has you. And so, well, yeah, we need to be on guard. We need to be on guard. We need to know what preoccupies us. Like what preoccupies my heart? We need to control our thoughts. You talk about that's where the enemy loves to mess with you. Me too. We have to know our thoughts. And so we need this breastplate of righteousness to keep us under the protection of God's grace.
Yeah. And the truth is that I don't think any of us would argue that aligning our behavior with what God says is good, that the choices that we make matter, right? So I think there's probably a lot of assent that yes, we should. But where I think maybe we're not always clear. It has to do with something you said right at the beginning of this episode. And you talked about how the breastplate, which was super heavy, was connected to the belt and that the belt could carry some of the weight of the breastplate. And there's an application in that for us because the weight of the breastplate of righteousness is not something we were meant to carry all on our own. And there is some truth that we need to know if the pressure to be perfect, which frankly, none of us can bear, is going to roll off of our shoulders. So there are different kinds of righteousness. And when we hear that word, whatever definition we attach to this is going to really impact how we live. And so I want to talk about four different kinds of righteousness and just do a little check as to when we hear this call to put on righteousness, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, where's your brain going? Like what kind of righteousness are you thinking is being expected of you or what kind is the type that you're walking out? Because there are two that we'll be tempted to pursue or settle for that will not protect our hearts. And there are two that we actually need. So I'm going to do first the two that like, don't do these. Like these are not the two that is being held up as the example to follow, right? And the first is we're going to be tempted to pursue performative righteousness. So this is where we know what we're supposed to do. And then we white knuckle it. We grit our teeth. We determine to never make a mistake. This is where perfectionism rears its head or scrupulosity creeps in. So we get on that gerbil wheel of performance and pride shows up. And when we're doing well, we feel great. But when we fail, we feel like failures and we beat ourselves up. And each and every time, pursuing performative righteousness does not end well. It really doesn't. And it really entraps us, is the truth of it. And then there's comparative righteousness. So there's performative righteousness. Now there's comparative righteousness. What's that? Well, with that, we compare ourselves to other people. And so our measure is not what God has said is righteous. It's how others are doing. So it's basically assuming God is grading everybody on a curve. And so again, this can be soothing if we look better than they do, but then it can be super discouraging if they're doing better than we are. And regardless of how it's making us feel, that's not even really the point. The point is it's a deceptive measure and it does not protect us at all. So frankly, I fall into both those traps. And if I am not paying attention to what is going on, what starts to happen is I feel confused as to why I feel like something is literally pressing on my chest, like literally almost like an elephant is sitting on my chest. So yeah, I've got to pay attention to this because I get in these states where I feel lousy and I don't really know why. I don't know if you can relate to that. It's just like, I'm just off.
100%.
Yeah, right. It just, things just don't feel good. And it's often because I am pursuing performative righteousness in my own strength, or I'm settling for comparative righteousness, which is the wrong measure. But where do you see yourself in that, Laura? Do you see yourself falling into one of those two, or both, or neither?
I love this question. I don't know why I'm so excited to talk about my failure, but I am team performative righteousness all the way. Not that I don't fall into comparison. I definitely fall into that trap as well. But this performative righteousness, this runs deep. And I'm so glad that you actually just taught me about it, because I had no idea. So I hope everybody's got pen and paper out and wrote these down, because this, oh my gosh, this is me. This is me. And it's really me for as long as I can remember. I have struggled with polarization, like hugely. Like, this is basically a distorted way of thinking, which is how I think most of the time. And it's where you see things black and white, all or nothing, good or bad. Like, I always tell people, like, there's no gray area. Like, it is black and white, or like, I'm all in or I'm all out. Like, I don't know how to do things halfway. And you might think, well, that could be good sometimes, right? Like if I need to meet a writing deadline, or if we've got a family mission or a vision or something, like, it's good. You want to know that, like, people are all in on the job. But when you apply this thinking to the spiritual life, it actually becomes very dangerous. Mm. Because you mentioned, like, things like scrupulosity, and that just seeps in. And what happens is our focus, or like our why, you know, we always have to have your why. Well, when everything is black or white, the why gets very muddied, and it becomes about us, right? Like, it becomes about me. It becomes about my performance. And I believe this is like fertile soil for self-reliance. Like, this is why I am so good at self-reliance. It's fertile ground. And this, you know, I talked about the fasting that I was doing during Lenten season. This was something I had to really watch when I was doing my fasting, because I don't know if I've shared this on previous episodes that we've done, but it's certainly been in my writing that I've shared that when I was younger, in my college years, I struggled with an eating disorder. And really what began is what I thought was just like an innocent plan to look good and lose weight. You know, maybe I like took the cheese out of my diet. Honestly, I think that's how it began. Like, 1 week, like, I just won't have the cheese. And well, that just turned into a full-blown eating disorder because of the way that I was thinking. Every day was just another day to say, okay, well, how can I do this better? Right? Like, what else can I eliminate? So every day, it was just taking it to the extreme. Because when you were determined to do everything right and make no mistakes, like, where is the end? Where is the finish line? There is none. Like, you just keep chasing this idea of perfection. And like you say, it doesn't end well. It never ends well. It just sets you up for failure. And so with this fasting and knowing my background and the way that I think, I really had to be mindful of the why I was fasting. And I had to check myself not to go to extremes and not to try to be perfect. But also, I think what's really important was not to get frustrated or discouraged when I quote unquote failed. And I put that in quotes because there is no failure in anything you do for the Lord, like that you like really set out and try. Like, I couldn't fail at my Lenting fast. The goal of the fast was not to do it perfectly. Like, I think we can fall into that trap when we try to do things spiritually. Like, I'm going to do this perfectly. That was never the goal. That was never the goal. The goal was to make room for perfect love. Like, the goal, that was the goal, not to do things perfectly. And it was through that fast, I was really reminded that there is a tension that we must live in. And it's to take great care for perfecting ourselves, but also no care for our perfection and leaving it entirely to God. And that was a big, big learning for me.
That's beautiful.
Because I tend to go to the extreme. Yeah.
So it's like you're trying, you know, during Lent, as you were trying to avoid scrupulosity with fasting. I, on the other hand, got a text every Friday morning from my husband, from Leo, saying, you're not supposed to eat meat today. And literally every single Friday morning, I was like, you're right. I literally was about to eat bacon. I mean, like, I literally, I'm like, I'm at the other end of the scale when it comes to fasting. But
yeah,
no, but I hear you. I hear you. What, you know, the point you're making, you're absolutely right. That just having that right attitude on how to pursue holiness, but not perfection. And,
yeah,
you know, there's another type of righteousness that I think really makes a difference in helping us in that regard. And it's another type we need to know about. And this is a righteousness that we want. And it's also a righteousness that we already have. And it's called infused righteousness, which I realize is theological talk, but let's go there because this is something we've got. And if we don't know we've got it, then we're not going to get the full set of benefits that it brings. So when you remember that the belt helped to bear the weight of the breastplate, the truth that I'm about to share about this righteousness helps bear the weight of the righteousness that's asked of us. So I think it's important for us to understand this because if we don't, then we're going to just fall into those traps of pursuing performative righteousness in our own strength, which will discourage, or we're going to settle for comparative righteousness, which is deceptive. So I agree, Laura, this is worth jotting down because I don't think these are things that we typically naturally remember. And I'm going to refer some verses of the Bible that I would really encourage you to go back to and look at and spend some time meditating on. So starting out, let's just stick with St. Paul since he's, you know, the one who's talking to us in Ephesians 6. In Philippians 3:9, he talks about this different kind of righteousness, this infused righteousness. And this is how he describes it. He says, "This is not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." So this righteousness depends on faith. And I think faith is one of those words that if we don't define it, it can mean all sorts of different things to us. So let's give a working definition that helps to make sense of Philippians 3:9. The Catechism number 1814 says that faith is the theological virtue by which we believe in God and we believe all that he has said and revealed to us. So faith is believing in God that he exists and that what he has said is true. And we believe it to such a degree that it actually changes how we live. And that's really important. So one of those truths that we're to believe, one that's about righteousness, is found in Romans 5:19. And it says, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners," that's talking about Adam, "so by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous." And that's talking about Jesus. So when we read that part of that verse, that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, that's talking about original sin. That's talking about how we come into the world, what we've inherited just with our human nature. And when it says that by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous, that's talking about what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us. And what was accomplished on the cross, there are two great verses that I think sum that up really well in terms of righteousness. One is 1 Peter 2:24 that says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree." Why? "That we might die to sin and live to righteousness." So that's telling us that Jesus's death on the cross somehow makes it possible for us to be righteous. And then another really great verse summarizing this, one of my favorites, is 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So this is the divine exchange, right? He made him to be sin who knew no sin, like Jesus took our sin on himself so that in him we might become the righteousness of God and receive his holiness, his righteousness. So these truths become our reality. How? When? This, for the first time, is what happens to us at baptism. So righteousness is infused into the soul at baptism. And that's when the Holy Spirit comes and actually takes up residence in your heart. And with him comes the power to live beyond yourself. He empowers you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. And then through the sacraments, this continues to happen. This righteousness continues to be infused into you. And what this means is that every time you jump into a spiritual battle, you are not jumping in alone. You've got an invisible partner every single minute within you, giving you an infusion of righteousness, which comes straight from Christ. So that's all theology, that's theory, right? But Lord, have you seen this in your own life to be true?
Yes.
That's a good answer, Laura. If you had said no, I'd have been like, never mind.
I say it like that because as you're talking, you know, there are a couple of things. Well, first of all, thank you. That was excellent. All of this in the show notes, my friends, if you didn't get it all down in the first listening. That was a lot. My yes, it sounded hesitant only because as you were speaking about this idea of like the invisible partner that's by us, like not alone, kind of in like this battle that we're in. I had a very specific memory come to my mind. And so I'm just like thinking like, well, how much can I share? Because, you know, it's personal and involves other people's lives. So I can't get too detailed in it, but I do want to share it because it was an extraordinary infusion of the Holy Spirit, if I could say, for real. So just a little background on me. A few things I'm terrified of. One is driving in the dark, driving at night, because I have terrible eyes, but I'm too young to get cataract surgery. So I just don't drive after like 6:00 p.m. So I can't drive at night. I don't like driving over bridges, specifically the George Washington Bridge, because I once got lost and it was terrifying. And driving in the rain, and especially rain at night, because that makes the vision even more difficult. And so a few years ago, I was faced with a crisis, a real stressful situation that required me, of course, to do all of these in one day. Drive in the dark, in the rain, across the GW Bridge. And I didn't have a choice in that moment. I didn't have a choice. And so it was super stressful. And I remember feeling something when I set out to get in my car that day. And this is just go with me because I can't describe what I felt, but I felt powerful.
Mm.
I felt like Catwoman or something, you know, like I put on a suit. Yeah. I just felt powerful because I just had to do it. And I remember driving in the rain, in the dark, over the George Washington Bridge, like doing it all. And the whole way, this was a 4-hour trip there and back, so 8 hours, I just prayed the Hail Mary over and over again. I didn't stop to go to the bathroom. I didn't stop to get coffee. I didn't turn on the radio. I was like too afraid to move. And I didn't do anything but pray the Hail Mary, not even like the rosary. It was just Hail Mary on a loop over and over again. And that night, like when I got off my exit, Lisa was like pulled off exit 9. It was literally like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then I remember pulling down into my driveway. And I just sat in my car and I just had a moment of how the heck did I just pull that off?
Mm.
Like, how did I do it? I just did it. And it reminded me of one of my real favorite stories in the Bible, which is in Daniel, in, you know, chapter 3, when Nebuchadnezzar sets up the golden image for everybody to worship. Remember, like he sets up this idol. And if you didn't worship, you were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. But there were these three guys that refused. They were not going to give in. And that ticked off the king, naturally. And so he threatened, you're going to go into the fire if you don't do it. And their response, and I'm just paraphrasing because I don't have it open in front of me, but their response was basically like, go ahead, like, do it, throw us in. Because the God that we serve, he's able to deliver us. And then they say like the great line, and even if he doesn't, we still won't worship your idol.
I love that.
Like, even if... And so they get thrown in. And not only do they get thrown in, but the king ordered that the furnace be heated 7 times more than usual. So he turned up the heat and threw them on in. And then scripture says, and they walked about in the midst of the flames, singing hymns to God and blessing the Lord. And I love that because they were not alone in the battle. I think there's also like, he's like, oh, I thought I only threw 3 people in the furnace. Why do I see 4?
Yeah.
Right.
The 4 figures.
The 4 figures. And that's the best way I can explain how I felt that day when I pulled back into my driveway. The only way that I could explain how a day that was so stressful that felt like the enemy had heated it up 7 times more. You know, I got through it and it was because I was not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just know it. I wasn't alone, especially wasn't alone when, I kid you not, I drove horizontally across 12 toll lanes on the George Washington Bridge. Like, can you picture it? Like, I went the wrong way, like clear across 12 lanes because I had no idea what I was doing. I think I was like in the easy pass lane and I didn't have an easy pass. I don't know, but thank you, angels. because you're so protected, so protected. There was an invisible army around me for sure. So when you talk about that infused with the spirit, that was for sure what went on.
Yeah.
So thanks for bringing that memory back. But it's a good one. It's one of those times you could look back and say, like, if it were not for the Lord, we did that podcast episode too. Like, if it were not for the Lord who were by my side. So,
that's right.
So that's neat. But you also talked about, I think I want to leave time for you. So there was a fourth type of righteousness.
Yeah. And we can't do this fourth type of righteousness. This can't be a reality for us without the third. Okay. So this infused righteousness where the Holy Spirit is placed in us to help us to do what we could not otherwise do in our own strength makes possible practical righteousness. So practical righteousness is what we need to do. These are the choices we make. This is our part in putting on the breastplate of righteousness. So with infused righteousness, where the Holy Spirit is taking up residence in you, giving you power to do what otherwise you could not do, you have what you need, but you still need to make the choice. So we decide if we're going to make the choices that protect our hearts or if we make the choices that leave our hearts exposed. And maybe a story will help explain this a little bit, how we create an environment through the choices that we make that invite the enemy in or actually invite in protection, greater protection. Because like you described, we have the Holy Spirit within us, but we can also call on angels to protect us. Like there is even more that's available to us in each and every moment than we might realize. So I live in Florida. And one thing that I've learned in my 10 years of living here is that you do not mess around with pest control. Like when they say, find your dentist, find your doctor, find your pest control person, they aren't kidding. Because if you don't have regular pest control inside and outside your house, the size of the bugs, you all, I mean, they're awful. The cockroaches are huge and they're horrible and very hard to kill. And so I took that seriously. We got someone right away. But even with pest control on the regular, our choices matter. My own choices matter. So I remember going away from a weekend and I was getting ready to go and I hadn't run the garbage disposal before I left. Like I hadn't thought about it. I just assumed everything was right, done and clean. The dishes were off the counter and in the dishwasher. But what I didn't know was that there was food sitting in the garbage disposal and it was just rotting throughout the weekend more and more. And what happened is it became the perfect breeding ground for little flies. And when I came home, they weren't just in the garbage disposal. They were all over my kitchen. And it was super hard to even find what is the source of this? Like, where are all these little bugs even coming from? And I couldn't get rid of them. Because they had actually laid eggs. And so even as like I'm getting rid of stuff, I'm flushing it down, like they're still somehow reproducing. They just kept coming no matter what I did. And what I had inadvertently done is I created an environment that invited those flies to come in and multiply. And in that way, our choices can create an environment that literally invites the enemy to come in and mess with us. And our choices can set up the perfect conditions for him to absolutely wreak havoc. So what do we do in this battle? Like, why is our righteousness so important in the spiritual battle? Catechism number 539 says, using Jesus as our example, Jesus, this is talking about him when he goes out into the desert, into the wilderness, and it says, Jesus will defeat the tempter, not with his army of angels, lightning flashes, or fiery sword, but by total obedience to the divine will. So of course, that also applies to the cross, right? So how is Jesus going to defeat the tempter? Not with his army of angels, not with lightning flashes or a fiery sword, but by total obedience to the divine will. So that's the call to us as well, right? That's the key. And I'm so convicted by what Bible teacher Priscilla Shire has written about this. And she said, the enemy takes every opportunity to push his way into our experience. And unrighteousness is all the invitation that he needs to send his demons on assignment. And the heart is one of his primary and lethal targets. So practical righteousness is what I've got when I am making the conscious decision to do what God has said is good.
That is so good. What a quote. You know, he really does aim at the heart. And so we've got to know our hearts and we've got to know our particular wounds. We've talked about that before because that's where the enemy gains access. Mm-hmm. That's where he goes. You know, I was listening to the Divine Intimacy podcast. I don't know if you've ever listened to Dan and Stephanie Burke. I'm big fans. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie had just the best visual of how we can look at the vices, the things that we need to overcome, and how the enemy uses them against us. And so she likens the virtues to a picket fence around our soul.
That's good.
So say for the sake of this conversation, a picket fence around our heart. Like picture that fence around your heart. And now picture the enemy kind of going around and checking out that picket fence around your heart and just giving every board a little kick, right? Like, because he's looking for the loose piece. And that loose piece, that's where he comes in and wreaks havoc. And the Lord just wants us to wake up and pay attention to this, right? Just to notice like, hey, this is a weak area for you, right? You know, like we need to see this as an invitation to obedience, to make the righteous choice versus, like what you said, creating an environment that actually invites the enemy in, right? And we can start to actively protect our hearts, I believe, if we just ask a simple question, hey, what's my loose board? What's the loose board? What's that one temptation, that one sin, that one vice, that one poor decision or choice that, let's be honest, we probably make over and over again? Like, what is that thing I can't turn away from and pay attention to it? I love that visual.
I really do too. What's my loose board? In fact, I think that's a great question for journaling. So we're just going to encourage you all to start there, like to go to prayer and ask the Lord, what is my loose board? What is that one temptation, that one sin, that one vice, that one poor decision that I probably make over and over again? And is really, it's an entry point. It's a chink in the armor of my breastplate of righteousness. So that's the first question we'd like you to journal with. Then let's have some follow-up questions, because just identifying it isn't the only thing. It is a great starting point, but it's really hard to kick an ingrained habit. So maybe these questions will help kind of get to the root and help us in our motivation to really make some changes this way and to pursue practical righteousness with the strength that comes from infused righteousness. So these are some follow-up questions. What comfort, what benefit does that decision, that vice give you that makes it difficult for you to part with it? So give that some time to think about. But then the flip side, what sort of detriments has it brought to your life? What are you losing because of that? What's at stake here? And then finally, and this is key, what is a first step you could take this week to make a different choice? So the breastplate of righteousness hooked onto the belt of truth, which holds a lot of that weight, because infused righteousness is a gift. It's not something that we earn. It's a gift given to us by God. But then our practical righteousness is the walking out of it. It's how we put it on. So I'm going to close this in prayer, but I really hope we all take some time to journal with that this week, because that's when all of this makes a difference, right? It's if we apply it. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. We just thank you, Lord, for the righteousness you've infused into us, and acknowledge that that cost you your life on the cross. Thanks for being an example of perfect obedience to the divine will, of continuously a response of perfect love towards your Father. I pray the same would be seen in us. I pray that we would notice what our loose boards are, and then we would determine that through the strength of the Holy Spirit, we would turn those vices into virtues, that we would focus on how we can build up those things into our life. And we just thank you that you never ask anything of us that you don't also equip us to do. So thank you, Lord, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks for listening to Hope for Right Now, a Walking with Purpose podcast. We would love for you to subscribe, share today's episode with a friend, and leave a rate and review. And don't forget, subscribe to our weekly newsletter. This is where you'll get sneak peeks into new content, special events, and exclusive discounts sent directly to your inbox. Finally, we know how important it is to keep the conversation going, so we've created a private Facebook group exclusive to listeners like you. You can find the newsletter and Facebook details all in our show notes. It's our privilege to unpack God's word with you, and we can't wait to do it again next week. Until then, friends, don't forget to open your heart, open your Bible, and invite God in.